Well, I was born and reared in Wexford in a place called Kilmore. It's on the south coast, and spent my childhood there. We had a small farm, and my father was a small farmer, and he played the fiddle, which I think was more important to him. And he was on a Cayley band, and so that's where the music started out. I suppose he instilled the love of music into us, like, you know, the whole family. I had two brothers and two sisters, and we all sang or played music or played guitars or some instruments. So that's where it all started out.
So your father was obviously a big inspiration for you, for your singing.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, yeah, he loved it. I remember people coming into the house, and you know, he'd have people, and he had a tape recorder, and he taped their songs and so forth. And all my childhood, I remember people listening to music in the house and various musicians coming and going, you know.
And where did the singing and the music bring you in life?
Well, we started out, I suppose, I remember actually we were in short pants, because I can remember a photograph at home with my brother and myself, Marty. And he had a white guitar. I don't know, you never see a white guitar now. We started off, we came across an album of the Clancy Brothers. That would be, I suppose, it's the early 60s anyway. And we started to learn songs like Brennan on the Moor and the Jug of Punch and the Shoals of Herring. And we used to play locally at concerts. And of course, there was a lot of, every little hall then had concerts, and they're a thing of the past now, of course. But and about late 63, 64, we actually got an opportunity to audition for Telefigeren. They had some programmes on, and we got invited, myself and my brother Marty got invited on to a programme called Shorsagus Bartley. It was it went out on a Sunday evening. And we actually got on, we were very popular in that, and we were on it about six times. I remember there were people like Twink and Al McCarl and Seamus Shannon and people like that. We were all children then, and we were all invited onto this programme. But it was a great start for us.
Mm-hmm. How did it feel when you first went on?
Well, to be fair, we weren't nervous because we were so young. We didn't think there was anything abnormal about it. Like, you know, if it was today, I probably wouldn't be near as confident. You know what I mean? But we loved it. We probably didn't realise the opportunity we were getting. Like, you know what I mean? So as I say, my two sisters, Kathleen and Anne, they sang, and my other brother Nick, he played the guitar, and we had various groups, ballad groups and so forth down through the years, you know.
So as a family together, you did a lot of things together with the music.
We did, yeah. I remember back in the kind of the early to mid 60s then, or maybe 64, 65, ballad contests or ballad group contests were very popular then at the Kilkenny Beer Festival. Had a big one. And my dad and the rest of us formed the group, and we entered in that. And it was just great. We met all the groups that were going then. We're at the same time with Emmett Spiceland and the Johnsons and the Ludlows and all these groups who went on to be quite famous, most of them, like, you know.
And that was in the 60s?
That was the 60s, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. About up until about 1966 or so. Mm-hmm. I joined the ESB then I did other things, I suppose. Like, I had a job to look after and so forth. I was serving my time with ESB, and I took a backseat role then at that stage, like, mm-hmm. You know.
And by taking that backseat role, did it give you time to reflect on what you'd like to do with music?
Not really, no. No. It's just that I suppose I wasn't at home all the time. I was away from home in different places with the ESB as an apprentice, and I wasn't available really, like, you know.
Yeah.
And then about in the 1970 then I started back into it, because I was finished my time then, and I knew where I was every day, and I suppose I might have got a little car or something like that, and I was available again to the family started singing again. And we had an opportunity in 1970 and 71, I think it was, we got an opportunity to appear in the Royal Albert Hall on two successive years. I remember topping the bill one year was Dana, and The Bachelors were top of the bill another year, and Jenny McAvoy, I think. And that was the concerts were organised by the London Wexford Men's Association. And so I suppose that's why we had a bit of a foothold there, because we were from Wexford, so forth. So, and but it was a great achievement at the time, I think, to appear before 6,000 people, you know.
Yeah, how old were you around then?
I was about 20 at that stage, I suppose.
Wow.
You know,
yeah. That must have been so exciting.
It was, yeah. I mean, it was great, really. Like, you know, I suppose, you know, although in a way we didn't realise, you know, what we were achieving by I mean, people were giving their IT to get into the Royal Albert Hall, you know. But it was great. Looking back on it was fantastic. And we have photographs of that and so forth, you know. And we even have a programme of one of the events, you know.
And I suppose, like that, you said you didn't realise at the time how amazing it was, but you were just doing something you loved. So it was easy for you.
Absolutely, yeah. It was great, yeah. Yeah, and I remember, like, that was my first time in London. I remember, you know, staying out in London and hearing all the different names that we had kind of heard of. You know, we were staying with the people, the people that had emigrated. Like, you know what I mean? We weren't in hotels or anything like that. You know, so it was great to travel around London and see a bit of London at that stage. You know, so lovely. We had a lovely time. Yeah.
And can you remember what you performed?
We would have sung Slaney Valley. And we would have, well, there would have been all ballads, like, you know. We sang a song called Gra Machree, I'd Like to See Old Ireland Free Once More, and Carried Down, I think it was another ballad we sang. So it's a long time ago, but there are three that come to mind anyway, you know.
And you also mentioned as well that you and your family released an LP, so tell us a bit about that.
We did, yeah. That was that was around the same time, the early 70s. And that was great. Actually, we won a ballad contest, I think. Maybe it was in our hometown of Wexford. And one of the prizes was we got a chance to record an LP in a studio in Donegal. I remember at the time it was a long way from Wexford. And I remember actually at the time we had to travel through the border. It was in, where was it, in Donegal? But we had to travel through the border to get to Donegal, and the soldiers were on the border at that stage. And I remember we were a bit frightened, actually. They had their rifles kind of, as you talked to them at the checkpoint, they had their rifles ready to go, you know. So yeah, it was a bit nerve-wracking. But anyway, we went to Donegal and we recorded the album, and it went well, really. It was called the Kinsella Family Album. And it was a great achievement to especially for the whole family, my dad and my sister Anne and my brothers Nick and Marty and myself. So that was nice to get done.
And how long did it take you to record that?
I'd say a weekend, kind of 2 days, you know. But I suppose if it was today, we'd probably be 2 months doing it. But no, just the weekend. If it sounds okay, you probably take it as being okay, you know. Yeah. But it was.
When you moved to the store, could you find a community that enjoyed ballad singing or anything like that?
Well, I moved in 1980, which was, 43 years ago. And when I moved first, I wasn't really involved in singing at that stage, except that people realised that I could sing a little bit and play the accordion. And I often got asked to kind of charity events and things like that. Like, you know, I remember going with Michael Dowling, God be good to Michael, and to Ballybunion, to the Towers, to play for people in the summer. And you'd be asked for charity, which was great. That's all I wanted, because there's no pressure once you're singing at a charity event. You're not getting paid. You don't have to perform. So it's great that way. And so I didn't do, that's about all I did in the 80s. And about 1992, Joan Mulvihill. Joan was the musical director of the St. Mary's Folk Group in Listowel at that stage. And Joan asked me, would I join the folk group, because I think they had a musician, Sister Anne O'Leary, and she was leaving the group. I think she went abroad, and they needed somebody for intros and just general backing, because they had a couple of guitars, but they needed a bit of music, I suppose. And I joined up. I said I'd give it a go anyway. And that's 31 years ago, and I'm still with them, and I love it. It's great. Music is music, no matter what type of music you play. I think it's, you know, you still have have to, you take a bit of music and you, you know, you start out and it's raw and you, you end up with a group and you're, you, you make something out of it that people like to listen to. Mm-hmm.
And it's, again, it's a lovely way to make friends and
absolutely,
people with similar
interests. Yeah, I've made great friends and still have great friends in the Listowel Folk Group. Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Great.
And John, why ballads?
I support really, I play the accordion. Kind of it lends itself to ballads, you know what I mean, because they can be slow or okay, you can play little fast ones, the jolly numbers as well, but I suppose that's I was into country music as well over the years, but I couldn't compete with them, so I decided I'd stick with the ballads. Mm-hmm. And then about 10 years ago I wondered, would I be able to write a ballad, you know? And it's quite funny because I love sea songs and sea shanties and things like that. And I had a collection of them kind of in my head. And then I said, I wonder, would I be able to write one of my own to go with them? And maybe sometime I might record something. So I remember my wife, Tina, she was going downtown to get her hair done. And I sat down at the keyboard. And before she came home, I had a song written, and I couldn't believe it myself, because actually I was very pleased with it. And that song was called "The Jeannie Johnston." Mm. And I think I did ask afterwards add one more verse to the song, but other than that, I didn't change anything. Mm. And I realized that it was possible to do it at that stage. And then I kind of got interested in entering songs in. There's two kind of new ballad contests around the Kerry area. One is the Sean McCarty in Fanoog in August, and the other is in Abbeyfeel, and it's the Gary McMahon weekend in October. And I've been entering both of those now for less 5 or 6, 7 years, and I've won the Sean McCarty twice, so I've been quite successful in it. And it's a great opportunity to be able to write a song and actually know that you're actually going to be able to perform it in front of people who are actually interested in listening to you, know. And at least then you know where you stand. So I'm grateful for the Sean McCarty and the Gary McMahon ballad contest for allowing, giving me the opportunity to express myself, I suppose, or find out how good or how bad I am.
And what makes a good ballad?
It's difficult to know. I suppose some of my songs are humorous because most ballads, they're traditional ballads, they're all about immigration and they're all about the fight for freedom and so forth, and it's fairly difficult to find a kind of a theme to write about. So when I get something, I can, you know, it's just thinking of something to write about I find the most difficult, and when I have that, then I can usually sit down and put a bit of music. I usually write the music and the words at the same time. It's just the way I do it, you know.
Mm-hmm. And you have this lovely ballad as well of the Maharees. Where did your inspiration for that come?
We have a mobile home in the Maharees, so I know how beautiful the area is, and I got there's a history book on the Maharees written, and I got a lend of that from Brendan Courtney down in the Maharees, and Brendan gave it to me, and I read it and I looked up the statistics for immigration from the Maharees were unbelievable, in that I think the population decreased by something like 50% or something from 1900 to 1940. And the song about the Maharees then that I sang is based on that, like, you know what I mean. It was just an inspiration for me to write a song about that.
John, you have released your own CD. This is your first CD, is it?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Tell us a bit about the process of that, because you've been working on it a long time.
I've been writing ballads maybe nearly 10 years now, and I decided that I had 6 that I'd like to record, but that was August 2019, and I started the process then, but I'm afraid the COVID came in soon afterwards, and then it got put on the shelf for maybe 18 months or so, and only last summer did I get a chance to kind of to finish those off with Brendan O'Connor down in Killarney. And So anyway, I got it out, and people like it. I'm just that's all. I as long as people I, if people like some of the songs, that's fantastic. I don't have to like them all, even, like, you know, but they're my effort anyway, and it's nice to have them. Had them down, you know. Mm-hmm.
And if people want to get that CD, where can they get it?
They can ask me for it. I have some. There are some on sale in the Shanachie Centre in Listowel, and I have others in the Ard Coram Centre in Listowel. And they want them. It's not. You know, I'll never make money out of it, but it's nice to get them out there and mm-hmm. allow people to listen to them, and maybe some people are getting enjoyment out of them. That's the most important thing, you know.
And what does it mean for you to look at that CD and be like, I finally have it done now, and it's my own, and it's all my work?
It's nice to have it done, but if I listen to it, you don't really you're never too pleased with your own performance, really, in the long run, like, you know, even though that's the best I can do, but you're never really like listening to yourself too much, like, you know what I mean, because you'll find a little criticisms that and things that other people wouldn't even dream of finding, you know what I mean, but it's grand to have it done. I'm delighted that is there anyway, you know.
Well, John, we'll leave it at that, but you're going to perform some music for us as well, for us in just a few moments. So which ones are you planning on performing?
I'll do the Maharees, and I'll do the Free Travel.